don't know if you noticed when I got up here to read the gospel, I was searching around for something. I thought, second week in a row, somebody ran off with my homily. And I was almost laughing about that because I thought, something's going on here. I don't know what it is. But then I lifted up the book and there it was. So we're safe. It's just some notes to help me share some things I want to share with you. First communicants are here today. What a special day. Look how beautiful you are. We can't wait to celebrate this with you, your first time receiving Jesus. Yesterday we were here practicing, and you could just see in their eyes the expectation and the joy. And so we're joyful with you today, okay? Just to let you know too, yesterday we practiced that you'd receive the scapular after my homily here. We're going to wait until after communion because traditionally you receive the scapular after you receive Jesus. So we'll do it then, okay? I'll let you know when that is, all right? Welcome to all our visitors. Welcome to this beautiful 1888 church, hardly touched. We actually put some things back in, like the communion rail and that. But this is a gorgeous, gorgeous church. And more is important, this is an incredible family here at St. Mary's. We've been working on that, to be family. You know, today we see the readings. There's so many wonderful things going on. This is the eighth day, the last day of the octave within Easter. Okay, so that's cool. It's the Easter season. It's Divine Mercy Sunday, right? It's First Communion. I mean, there's so many wonderful things. And we're going to have our annual parish social afterwards to help our first communicants celebrate. Please plan to join us after Mass. Then next weekend, that's May 1st. So it's the month of Mary. May is the month of Mary. And we're going to begin like we've been doing. We started to, it was downtown for decades, where they would do the Marian procession and May crowning. And they brought it out here to St. Mary's, and just for a number of reasons. But we're very honored and blessed to have it here. So if you can join us next weekend, actually it's after the 10:45, the last Mass. And we're going to have some snacks in the back too afterwards. Oh, that reminds me too, I could use some help if anybody wants to volunteer, because I want to get Gracie's Cafe set up outside. So what do I mean by that? Last summer, we had a time where I felt we were doing all we could to build family here at St. Mary's. We're doing a lot of wonderful things. Our brunch that we're going to have after Mass, but we gathered every Thursday night for what we called Heal Our Land Holy Hours. So we'd start in church, and we had these beautiful candelabras in here. We had the choir here, and we had adoration for an hour. And then we went out onto the lawn and just enjoyed each other's company with some great eats every Thursday night all summer. And then just recently we had our five First Fridays where we gathered together same way in here, but only because of the cooler weather, we ended up in the gym for a social after that. Just amazing. And I think what we're going to do this summer is do it, instead of every Thursday, we're going to do it once a month. So we have our beautiful social after Mass. But all this, you know, listen, I'm close in with a lot of priests, but especially my two brother priests that I co-authored the book, Let Freedom Ring. So Father James Altman and Father Bill Peckman, and we become really close, and we co-authored a book together. But if you ever notice, Father, let's start with Father Altman, he always, like every paragraph or every, so often when he preaches and also when he writes, he starts out with the words, dear family. I just think that's great. I thought about picking that up myself because it's so true. You know, he's called Father, okay? He's not called boss. He's not called general. He's not called president. He's called Father, and we are a family. And I know Father Peckman is, we've been talking quite a bit lately. I think he's going to write a book on this, but he's been really helping us to understand we are meant to be a family, not, you know, a retail store or anything like that where we come and get something, or we shop around for the best retail store. We're a family. We're tied in. I mean, here we are as a family today with these beautiful young people who are about to receive Jesus the first time. We're celebrating that with them. But here we have the reading, right, where Jesus comes in. Now, these are the first bishops, okay? the first priests, if you will. He comes in even though the doors were locked. Okay, sure, it's about a lock and key, but it's more than that. They were locked in their own fear. You know, fear that if they were found out, that they'd be crucified like Jesus was. Maybe fear of repercussions for abandoning Jesus when he was asked to take up his cross. They fled in silent self-protection. You know, they were sitting huddled in fear, our first bishops. And Jesus wasn't going to let that be an obstacle any longer. Even though the doors were locked, he came in. And what was his first words to them? It wasn't, "I hope you're happy. You know, I hope you know, you're blessed," or, "you know, I hope." No, he said this: "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace." You know, I think of Psalm 24. He lets us lay beside restful waters. He brings us into verdant pastures, right? The sense of serenity. I mean, I think ultimately, isn't that what we all want? Yeah, we want to be happy, but happiness, that really true and deep happiness, comes when we have that calm, that peace, that serenity that comes from knowing our shepherd is right there, Jesus. He's got us covered. And I was reading something that Father Bill Peckman just wrote, I think it was a day or two ago, but I wanted to share a portion of it. He said he learned some valid lessons from a very good pastor when he was an associate pastor in the parish. And I want to share what he wrote about that part here. He said, "I was blessed in that the pastor I had for my years as an associate pastor did teach me aspects of the pastor being a dad. He taught me to be impartial and to love them equally. He taught me to set the model of behavior, never asking my children to do what I was unwilling to do. He taught me to be completely available to my flock. He taught me that we were a line of defense between our flock and those who prey on them. He taught me you have to say things, the things people, he taught me you have to say the things people don't want to hear, but need to hear if you are going to look out for their good. He taught me to be quietly sacrificial and to bear criticism with charity." You know, as I was reading that, I was thinking, what a great pastor he had, huh? And what Father Bill Peckman is advocating, that I think part of the, he says, training for being a priest needs to be help these young men understand what it means to be a good dad and husband. Because that's ultimately what we are. We're a family, right? And so if you have someone who has the better qualities of being a good dad and husband, he's going to be able to be the best dad and husband to the church that he can possibly be. You know, as priests, we marry the church, right? And so what do? We love God so much that we want to please him in every way that we can. We think of this gospel that we saw this weekend, Thomas, right? "We saw the Lord." "Well, I have to trust the science first. Put my finger into the nail marks. The science." Jesus appears again. "Go ahead, do your science thing, Thomas." And what does he do? He doesn't reach into the hole in his hand. He says, "My Lord and my God." I've been saying for quite some time, so visitors might hear this for the first time. If my primary goal is not to help my family to get to that place where they cry out, "My Lord and my God," that I am a failure as a father of this flock. I'm leading you to the promised land, to those verdant pastures, to those restful waters, to the place of peace that comes when we turn our lives over to God. And so you'll see, one of the things I said to the servers here this morning, because these guys are amazing, but I said, remember guys, we've got family and friends here for our first communicant, so you guys are amazing, but be the best military honor guard that you've ever been. That's what we train them to be. What is a military honor guard? It's people that by their presence, you know, what they're doing is important. They're honoring a fallen soldier. So what do they show? Reverence. We're grateful for what you did. And so we want to give the best of ourselves we could possibly give you to honor you. That's why we offer the Mass the way we do here. I'm often called pre-Vatican II. I say, no, I'm precisely Vatican II. The way we offer the Mass here is exactly what Vatican II called for. What it became after Vatican II, after people Shanghai'd the thing, is a different story. But what is it ultimately? This is the place that we come and we receive Jesus in the most holy Eucharist. We become tight in with him, but then tight in with each other as a family of God. And here we have our young people joining in this meal for the first time in their life. How cool is that? So excited for these guys. And so, my brothers and sisters, on this Divine Mercy Sunday, we celebrate the mercy of God. And we also celebrate today the authority given to the first bishops and priests, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. God wants us whole. God wants us in his arms. God wants us in those verdant pastures and restful waters, the place of peace, the amazing sacrament of confession that says, I don't care what you have done. I care what I created. You are my child. And I got plans for you. And I don't need you bowing your head and sulking and feeling guilty as the devil wants you to feel. Remember, the world does that. The world condemns, writes people off because they had a beer when they were 14 or whatever. Not with God. Divine mercy. What a precious, precious gift. Come on home. Receive the sacrament of mercy. Live in my peace as a family of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.